everybody. This is Let's Talk. I'm Dick Griffith, and we're working on part three of a little five-part series on the tests of a true Christian, those things that the Scripture teaches that can help you know for sure your relationship with Jesus Christ, the security that it gives. And there are tests, and these tests are listed in 1 John, in the epistle of 1 John. 1 John 5 says, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Oh, what things are written? Well, maybe the whole Bible, but let's boil it down to something a little easier to get a hold of, get our arms around, and that's the epistle of 1 John. And there's five chapters, and this one, draws out of chapter 3. So if you look at 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 2, beloved, we are God's children. Ooh, that's powerful. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. Now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. By the way, you have a future if you think you don't. There's a future with a purpose. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. This is talking about glorification, the next time he comes and with his church, and those that are here that are in his church will be called back to life to be with him. We shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So if you have that kind of hope in you that we don't know right now what we will be, but there will come a time that when we will be just like him, he will call us up as his family, his sons and daughters, his brothers and sisters. And that hope in verse 3 should motivate us, should work on that inner man, that inner woman, if you will, that nobody else can hear or see, that only God knows, and make you desire to be pure for him. Those changes that come, that future that comes, the life that you live now, because we know we all have sin, how are we addressing that? How are we dealing with that? So the test here that comes out of this passage, and then we'll touch on it in two more parts of chapter 3, is what has changed about you? What has changed about you that the Holy Spirit knows because he's in you? What has changed about you that others can see? Well, you have wants, you have desires. We saw that in 1 John 2, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, those things that are in 1 John 2. How are you dealing with those things? What are your wants? You may want something and you know in your heart of hearts, I shouldn't be wanting that. I don't need it. It's sinful. The Bible prohibits it. But it's so hard to deal with because I want it so bad. So over time, brothers and sisters, over time, do those wants change? If those wants are changing and improving, then that's evidence to you that the Holy Spirit is real and he's in your life and he's working. That's the test. Are your wants changing? So look at verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. Ooh, that's a tough one. We're talking about habitual sin. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. We are guilty of sin. Anybody that says they aren't is a liar. But is it a practice? Is it a habitual pattern? Is there something that you park a certain part of your life over here so that you can enjoy something that you know is wrong? No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed, or God's the new birth that he gives us, the new life that he gives us, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot, abides in you, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has born of God. Those folks who have particular difficulty, we won't go into details, you know in your heart of hearts what you struggle with, but if less power is not becoming stronger in you, its power is weakening, if that's not happening in you, you've got to ask yourself, where's the Holy Spirit? What am I doing with the Holy Spirit? Have I pushed him out of the way? Verse 10 says, by this it is evident who are the children of God. Here's something that points out who are the children of God. And who are the children of the devil? You're the child of one or the other. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Even though you may profess a good doctrine out of chapter 1, or you may look at the proofs of the witness that's in chapter 2, practicing righteousness and growing closer and closer to him with the change in your wants and desires has got to be happening for a believer. So let's look at verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Ooh, that's powerful. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So Susie and I, my wife and I, spent a couple of years in North Dakota. You know what? It's cold in North Dakota, 40 below with an 80 below windshield. And if you're driving along the highway in North Dakota, maybe from the Air Force Base where I was stationed into town, Grand Forks, North Dakota, and someone's hitchhiking along the road and it's windy and snowing and they're shivering and they're cold, and you stop and you say, how are you getting along? I'm cold, I'm having a hard time. We'll pray for you, and you drive off. You haven't done very much for that person, have you? How about, would you like to get in the car with us here in the back seat? It's warm inside the car. Or if you're walking too, here's my coat. I've got something for you that'll help you. That love that manifests itself in external deeds, the way you live your life, is evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, you don't do those things because, okay, I'm going to this church or that church and they expect me to have five good things done this week or else I'm not being a good church member. That's not it. It's what's going on in your heart of hearts. What's that inner man telling you to do? So the test here is that the love of others should be evident in the fruit of your life. Your motive, your inner man, your inner woman should love out of that change that the Holy Spirit has brought in your life. The Holy Spirit knows, and you can't fake it. If it looks like, you know, I'm trying to be a good Christian and do the right thing, that's a good idea, but what is your motive? Are you trying to earn your way into heaven, or are you trying to respond for what Christ has done for you already on the cross? So to finish up chapter 3, look at verse 24. Whoever keeps his commandments, remember, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So this passage tells you that, yes, you can know for sure. That test, if you pass it because your motives are pure and you're trying to grow and become more pure, to reject that selfish nature, the Holy Spirit will confirm in your heart of hearts that you're one of his. Is that kind of mystical and you know, maybe a little transcendental or a little weird? I'd rather have a piece of paper that says you're okay, but we don't get one of those. We only get that change that comes in our heart that says he loves us, he died for us, and that's what I'm trusting in for my eternal salvation. So Father, I pray to you that each one here would ask themselves in their heart, what is motivating me? Am I trying to please somebody else? Am I trying to make some deacon happy? Am I trying to get gold stars on my Sunday school card on a wall somewhere for memorizing verses or doing good deeds? These are not necessarily bad things, but the key to that and the test here is, what is the motive? And only you know what's motivating you. He loves you, he died for you, and that should motivate us all to purity of life and holy living. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.